And now it's time for your financial destination with Roger Hamilton, with strategies to enhance or improve your retirement income.
Hello, I'm Roger Hamilton, and welcome to the Financial Destination Show. So for the next 20 minutes, we'll go over some strategies, some ideas to help you improve your current investments and to enhance your retirement income. Well, here we are, past the midway mark of 2022, and for some, this year can't end fast enough. Let's jump right into next year already. Well, while 2022 has been off to a bit of a rough start, let's have a look at where we've been, and where we are now, and then the plan to move ahead. Now, each investor is different, but we all share the same goal for our investments to grow. Now, for some investors, it's a more cautious approach, some not too sure, and others a bit positive, not reckless. They're aware of the markets. Are they overly concerned? Not really. Observing the markets, especially in volatile times like these, can make even the best or experienced investor a bit uncomfortable. And some less experienced investors may make emotional or irrational investment choices that can have a long-term negative effect on their investments. Something that they thought was helping, but instead had the opposite and negative impact on their retirement income. By making sure your investments are well-balanced, you don't need to keep altering your plan every time there's ups and downs. No greed, and especially no fear. For good diversification lessens the impact of these major market fluctuations, which happen almost sometimes as frequently as the weather. To keep you from worrying about what you cannot control, invest in well-diversified portfolios built for both growth and market change that best suits your timeline, risk tolerance, and financial goals. Investments. It's important to know what you have and why. And two of the best lessons to do when markets shift up dramatically or down sharply is experience and history. Experience. Been there, seen it before. This new situation may be different, yet similar to others, as no 2 or 3 years are ever the same. However, end results can often be very much alike. So let's go through a few definitions first, and then some recent history. And again, history doesn't predict or guarantee the future, but with history, you can learn from it so you don't repeat the same mistakes. So some definitions. Well, what's a correction? You've heard that word lately. What's a correction? That's a market drop of 10% from its peak. January 4th was the peak. Markets at an all-time high. Most have dropped 10% or more. The U.S., the Dow, has a bigger drop so far than Canada this year, more than 10%. What's a bear market? That is a correction of drop or of 20%. One of the major indexes, either the TSX or the Dow, this time it's the S&P, the Standard & Poor, which has dropped more than 20% since January. Now, the Dow hit about 36,580 January 4th. It got to as low as 29.8 early part of June. 29.2 would have hit the 20% mark. So it's been around a 16% drop. The TSX, Canada's not down as much, but the S&P, it's down 20%. So that's officially a bear market, which is a term, a vicious animal that claws at you and pulls you down. Well, fortunately, it's not permanent. You'll recover from a bear market, maybe a little scratched and maybe a little bruised, but a little wiser. And there's no real loss unless you try to outrun the bear. You panic, you scream, and you sell low on the downside. That's a permanent loss. Once you pull the trigger when stocks or funds are down, that's a hard loss. That money is gone. And like an injury or surgery, the bigger, the harder to recover, especially as you age. The last bear market, 2020, March, April, the COVID correction, the global pandemic, it was certainly unsettling for sure. It was a financial airplane took a real sudden nosedive, like a dive bomber, a V-shape, a sudden V-shape correction. Panic? Maybe. Uncertainty? For sure. A sharp V-shaped decline, followed by an even sharper acceleration upward. Hang on to your seats and hang on to your investments. How long do bear markets usually last? Well, the average, which means just that, average, about 9 months. So according to averages, if we are officially in a bear market from January, this could last to about October, thus making this more of a U-shape correction instead of a V, perhaps curving down some more yet, hovering before hitting back up to the next recovery. And you won't know it until you see it in the rearview mirror. The shortest bear market was once again just 2 years ago, 2 months, the COVID outbreak, the deep dive. But the biggest and the longest bear market recession this century was 2008. The housing market bubble, the financial collapse, that was a big one. The biggest one since the 1929 crash of the last century. What started halfway through 2007 lasted until midway through 2009, over 18 months, a drop of over 40%, a quadruple correction, a double bear, a major setback. 40% losses for those who sold low. There were job losses, bankruptcies. It was big, it was bad. But in every case, every slowdown, meltdown, downturn, every time, it is followed by the recovery, which comes in higher than before. As they say, time heals all, if you have the time and patience over panic. You cannot market, you cannot time the market, but time in the market is key. And when growth, and balance, and funds, and income, and bond funds all retreat at the same time, your patience will be tested. But if you stay invested, you pass the test. For those who fail the test and sell, they sell low, they can set themselves or their retirement plans backward for years, impacting their own recovery, not allowing for the time to heal. A little bit of history, more recent. Let's take the past 3.5 years, 42 months, 2019, 20, 21, and the first half of this year, 42 months. For the first 3 years of that, 36 months, there were only 4 negative months. September 2019, March and April 2020, and September of last year, 2021. 4 months out of 36, 32 months were either winners, a little bit, or a lot. An impressive record of 32-4. Double-digit returns for 3 straight years. Investors could either make great headwinds or take profits. You had 32 chances. Now, with the first half of this year, your record now has dropped to 32-10. Still impressive. Just that it's now a current 6-game losing streak. But overall, 32-10. And within that time frame of 42 months, there could be 2 different approaches that investors might have taken, resulting in 2 different outcomes. We'll be back in just a moment to have a look at those results right after this.
Knowing which investments that outperform and that are suitable to your goals and needs can be overwhelming. Understanding the advantages of growth segregated funds and or market linked indexes might have over balanced mutual funds could benefit your investments now and for estate planning later on. Diversifying part of your portfolio in private equity funds could have a significant impact on your retirement income. On your Financial Destination show, we'll discuss these strategies and more to enhance your retirement income.
And we're back. Let's see what history has taught us about investment discipline. So if we were the last 42 months had a record of 32-10, it was boosted by a terrific 2019, which was a record of 11-1 that year. So let's remove that year, that big year 2019, and go with just this decade, 30 months. Now the record is 21-9. There have been 2 corrections in 30 months, and you're currently on a 6-game losing streak, so there's got to be losses, right? Only if you overreact it and do the opposite of what you should. So let's pick 2 different investors and say 2 different people in their mid-60s, that third quarter of life, third quarter between 50 and 75. So the first investor, Radical Ray. Let's say his funds didn't do much the last decade. He was in minimal growth, like a lot of people, fixed income, the ultra-conservative fund. I don't want to lose any money, and no one does. But he was losing time trying to build his retirement income. And he heard about these 19% returns across the board in 2019 and thinks, boy, I'd like to get some of that. I haven't seen returns like that in a long time. I'm just getting the normal 3 and 5%, and I lost some money in 18. So he begins with $100,000 in January of 2020. The market's then at an all-time high. And he fills out the client profile with his advisor. And I like it when funds go up, and I don't think I'm going to like it they go down, but that's a very common answer. And nothing too risky, but wow, 19% last year. I missed that, so I'd like to get a little bit of that. And rightfully so, he has a little bit of proper greed. It's now January of 2020. 7 weeks later, COVID outbreak hits. markets drop over 20%. The TV is full of gloom and doom. It's a global pandemic. There's no vaccines. There's no cure. Lots of questions, no answers. Stay home, locked down. And it was scary. And he got scared. He couldn't reach his bank. He couldn't reach anyone. And his $100,000 drops 15% in 7 weeks. Dow, 85,000. And it might even get worse. And could I lose all my money was his first question. Unlikely, depending on what you invested in. And seg funds, segregated funds, by the way, have some built-in loss limits. Some are 100% principal guaranteed. Most carry a 75% principal guaranteed protection. So no, you don't lose all your money. And there's really no need to lose anything. But it's very unsettling. And fearing the worst, he sees his money managers on TV and advisors all saying, selling, sell. So he does as well. He pulls the trigger. Down 15% in March of 2020, his $100,000 has now shrunk to $85,000 in just weeks. Well, never again will I invest, he tells himself. This is crazy. So I'll go back to my bank and lock that $85,000 I have left to a nice safe GIC that's paying about 1.5% for the next 18 months. I'll get back $1,800, guaranteed for the next 18 months. That's more like it. No more losses. I've made it. But he has lost. He's lost $15,000 of his future retirement income and no real chance of getting it back except for maybe $1,800 of it. If you're investing with the pre-notion that I'll stay in as long as it goes up, but the moment this goes down, I'm out. If that's your strategy with your RSP, your tax refunds, your retirement income, you may be setting yourself up for some serious losses and drastically reduced retirement income. By late April of 2020, a month after he sold off and locked in, thinking that's the way to go, or the old, I'll just hold it in cash for now and watch it and I'll try to time it. He will miss out on the market surges and miss the best few days of the year, you lose big time. The markets that he should have been in, they all shoot back up. And by the end of 2020, markets have gained. His Fidelity Fund ended the year at plus 14%, international 11%, Canadian two funds, mid-cap and large-cap 9% and 14%. Call it a 12% average. His 100,000 would now have been 112 if he had just left it alone. Now, no one knew what was going to happen, but one thing is certain, when you sell at a loss, that is permanent. But instead, this panic seller, his 85,000, would make about $1,800 over the next 18 months. And so maybe around $87,000 locked in till September of 2021, missing the entire rally of 2020, which rolled right into 2021 as the markets were even higher. The Fidelity funds are like most funds of that year in 2021, 19 to 25% returns. He missed it again, swing and a miss, strike two. Now after seeing this double-digit market surge that he missed out on for the second time, 18 months he was locked in, he locked himself out, looking in, tapping on the glass, let me back in, where the markets have soared. So he says to himself last fall, okay, this time, I've got it. Patience over panic. When my GIC comes due, it's a long-term idea I have now in my head. I want some of this double-digit stuff. Well, double-digit returns are unrealistic. Long-term thinking, 6%, 7% may be the goal. But when the headwinds are there, super. Or the winds are blowing against you, you stay invested. But he takes his $87,000, that should have been a lot more, and he re-enters the market late last fall. And he finishes the year 2021. He picks up a bit at the end, makes 2 or 3% the final couple months of the year. Wow, I've made more in 2 months than I have the entire past 18 months. I'm back up to $89,000. Okay, feeling good heading into January of this year, 2022. I hope this keeps going. I like this. Well, of course, from mid-January to now, a six-month drop. Another 15% drop, maybe even more. His 89,000 drops to 75, and he looks at it every day. Panic and pale and scare and fear comes over him. He hears words like bear market and recession and inflation and war. It's all coming to an end. He calls his investment advisor at the bank. After being on hold for an hour, his advisor tells him to wait. What are you going to do? I'm going to sell. I want out. His $100,000 at the start of January of 2020, his five-year plan, 2.5 years later, it's down 25%, $75,000, and he's sold. It's a true loss. No one told him to sell. He didn't stay disciplined. Emotion, trying to outrun a bear. It's not an easy plan. This loss cannot be replaced. There's no new money coming in. He sold low twice and missed every market surge with no recovery. If every time the markets go down and your first thought is, how can I get out? You increase the chances that you're going to lose, either a lot or quite often. And watching a daily online, it's nice to have that instant accessibility, but it could be a bit too much for some, and emotions could cloud your judgment. When the markets go down and your first thoughts are either to ignore it or simply hold for now, or even better, how can I buy some more if you can? The best way to buy is simply regular weekly or monthly deposits. If that's your strategy, you will do quite well, which sometimes is easier said than done. Let's take investor number two, a much calmer investor. Let's say it's you. January of 2020, same 100,000, same Fidelity funds, American, Canadian, whatever. There are a lot of number of good funds. And again, seeing some awesome returns in 2019, realizing, well, double-digit gains aren't normal. I'll take it when it happens, but I don't want to overthink it when it doesn't. Big swings happen in the markets. You've got better things to do than watch your money every day. You don't panic, you don't guess, you don't gamble. You just go about your day. And you know the funds were higher in January of this year than they are now. Can't change that. In 2020, your funds generated well over 12%, even with the COVID. You would have moved your 100,000 to 112. An 18% average in 2021 would have brought you up to $132,000 at the end of the year, a 15% average return per year for the first 2 years, twice the normal return. And again, you would have finished at $132,000 entering this year. Now, you could have withdrawn and pocketed $25,000 and still would have been ahead. Opportunities were there. And clients of mine have done that in the past couple of years, taking advantage when it's there, lock in profits. That 15% annual return back-to-back years, a bit unrealistic, and you know that's going to change. Now, going into this year, it's probably not a good year to take profits, not going to happen, but also not a year to take losses. You hold or buy more. You're down 10% so far this year. But even with the six-month losing streak, the common investor, their $100,000 from January of 2020 is still $118,000, down from its peak of $132,000, but up nicely from where they began just 2.5 years ago, a 30-month return of 7.6 annually, which is really the long-term realistic goal. That's the more normal, as you wait for the next recovery and the one after that. And you do that for the next decade or two or three, depending on your age. You're aware of the markets, but you're not worried. A well-set-up diversified plan, disciplined investment plan, built for now, and for the future, with a goal, a strategy, along with that, sometimes that second voice to help you avoid the losses. As you gain more investment experience and reduce emotion, you will do quite well. So if you're thinking of selling right now, take a pause and ask yourself, why do I need to sell now? But I really need the cash in now when funds are down that I didn't need the cash for just 6 months ago when the funds are up. What has changed in my life to cause that? If it's a health issue or some immediate unexpected bill that needs to be paid, CRA has called you, and something that got missed at tax time, they're coming for you this week, and you don't have enough cash on hand, yes, you might have to cash in. It's always at an inopportune time. But if you're selling based on fear itself, take a pause, take a breath, and rethink. Is it in your best interest to cash in now and lock in that permanent loss? Maybe better to wait, recover, and then lock in a small profit. We thank you for listening in this morning. Hopefully you've gained something that you can use to help you get the most for your retirement income. This show will be on my website soon. You can visit yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879. This is Roger Hamilton. Until next time, stay safe and stay invested.